Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
We're almost ready here. All right. So we are at part four in a pretty serious teaching. How many people have heard some of the parts, the part one, two, or three of the Third Holocaust? Most of you. If you have not heard parts one, two, or three, and it's likely that if you haven't been here, you haven't heard them because we've been having a lot of technical difficulties that we're trying to work out, and we think it's a new cable that we need, and we'll hopefully get that fixed. But I'm going to re-record the messages so that we can put them online, because what I'm going to share today may be a little hard to receive if you haven't heard some of the other ones, and even if you have, it still may be hard to receive. But it's the message the Father gave to me, so I'm not going to apologize for it. So there was a pastor back in the late 30s in Germany. And he knew somebody who knew someone that had inside information from the government about what was going to go down. And it was shocking to him because that can't happen in my country. That they're not going to round up Jewish people and kill them for no good reason and round up other undesirables. And he prayed about it, and the Father convicted him that it was true. But it was uncomfortable, and he chose not to share it with his congregation. Whose hands was the blood on?
His
hands. Think about that little story if you get a little irritated with why I'm bringing this message on Shabbat. So I would have preferred to do this straight through, but Father had other plans. Things happened, and so we've not been able to do it every week. But I want to share a couple quick things with you that we did share in previous weeks, because this is critically important for you to understand, especially if you're new here, or if you are fairly new, or you haven't heard some of the other parts. Number one, as a body, House of Scriptures, we are not saying this is the mark of the beast. The vaccine and this whole agenda. We are not saying that. You need to know that, because you might think that as we go through. And number two, we are not saying that if you have already taken the vaccine that there's no hope. Okay, it's critical. We are not condemning anyone who's made that choice. Early on, it may have seemed like a logical choice. As more and more information comes out, we're hoping that you will see it for what it is, because there's way too much evidence to ignore. But you have to remember that. So the Third Holocaust, we talked about in week one, the First Holocaust, which was Nazi Germany. Way bigger than most people realize, and as far as the scope of how many people died. The Jewish people were the only ethnic group that they went after, but they went after a lot of other groups. What they called undesirables, the gypsies, the mentally ill, and that was a very loosely put term. Anybody who didn't agree with the Communist Party, what they were trying to do at the Third Reich. So basically, anybody who didn't follow the party line were considered undesirables and were subject to the camps and or possibly death. Last time we spoke, we outlined how many vaccines there are around the world. I was only able to label 14 or 15 of them. I'm sure there's much more. Do not think there's three vaccines in the entire world. Moderna, Pfizer, and...
Johnson.
Yeah. There's far more. I named off about 14 of them, and I guarantee you, not every vaccine is identical. You have to understand that. I mentioned the word biological weapon, and that sent somebody packing. Sorry, it's the truth. Anytime they unleash something on humanity that is far worse than what they're saying it is helping you from, I'm sorry, that's biological weapon. It's biological warfare. And why? Because it's a lot easier than doing the physical warfare. We outlined that the so-called vaccine does not cure anybody. It doesn't prevent you from getting it. In fact, the newer studies that have been coming out over the last month or two are proving that more people get sick after having taken it. And I'm not bringing this up to throw guilt on anyone who's already made that decision or a family member. What I'm saying is we need to start facing reality. Yep. And the reality is This vaccine is no friend of ours and what it's doing to us. Last time I said, regarding all the countries that are producing the vaccine, I said, how did they all know to put RNA and spike protein in them? Remember when I asked that question? Well, here's a sad reality. I think I might have been a little off in that statement. The reason is there's some evidence coming out that not every country is putting spike protein in their vaccines. Now, that may sound a little off to some of you because we have just been bought into it. It all has the same stuff. But the reality is if one country, China, wanted to protect some of their people, maybe they would put the RNA in there, which is proven to kind of dumb us down and take away. It's called the God gene, but it's really just, I remember hearing an interview with somebody who got it, the vaccine. She said, my desire to read the word is gone. I have no desire to open the book. It's when I think about it, I want to still honor God, but she goes, I can't do it. So maybe, and I don't know this for fact, I'm just throwing out a hypothetical, and I'm going to be real clear. I'm going to present fact today, and I'm going to offer you some stuff that is unable to be proven, but when you get a bunch of ducks walk across the stage here, I'm pretty sure they're ducks, okay? So it's possible that many of these countries are not. And when we get to something later in this message called the Deagle Report. Anybody ever heard of the Deagle Report? One? Anybody else? No? All right. Well, when we get to it, John, you have. When we get to the Deagle Report, you're going to remember why I brought this up about they may not all be putting spike protein in their vaccines. Now, one thing we do know for sure, absolutely, the three primary vaccine manufacturers in the United States all put spike protein in. That's a given. It's not for debate. They're not even trying to debate it. And you know how they always talk about the whistleblowers?
Yep.
We have a whistleblower of our own here.
That's right.
We have somebody in the House of Scripture that went undercover and actually went in and asked, they said, we're considering the vaccine. Would you share with us, you know, that pamphlet that they give you that has all of the ingredients of what goes in it? I have the pamphlet that says what is in the vaccine. This came in one of the boxes and they got it. And it says right here, intentionally blank. This came in an actual vaccine box. And you will see the corruption of our government and our pharmaceutical companies.
Wow. No way.
This actually came out of the vaccine box, intentionally blank. Because if you had a list of the ingredients, you would scream and run as fast as you could. So I just wanted to share that with you. That actually came out of a vaccine box. This is how corrupt we are, as a nation, not us, of course, not you and I. So, where we're at now, we know for a fact our government is hardcore pushing for everybody to get this vaccine. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
I mean, they're going so overboard. I mean, come on, when Joe Biden loses his patience, you know times are serious, all right? And he's lost his patience. It's wearing thin. So we know we're in trouble. And they're primarily pushing this in the Western world. Do you realize this? Europe, Australia, South Africa, America. You know why? Because the rest of the world's like, you're out of your mind. Get out of here. Now, that's not saying that nobody's taking it in some of these other worlds. But if you start looking at the number of people vaccinated in the Muslim world, it will shock you. So what can we surmise before we start today? One thing I can surmise, and I hope you'll agree with me, something very evil is behind all this. And to pretend we know exactly what it is, we're fooling ourselves. Can we just admit it's evil? They do not have your best interest at heart. And I think we're going to see it play out as it plays out. But you need to understand this moving in. Last week, we also talked about the seven seals and the four horsemen. We got into the book of Revelation. And I told you up front, the revelation is not something I'm prepared to tell you this is how it's going to go, because I would just be labeled in a long list of people who are false prophets. I'm just sharing with you some ideas that where I believe we are in the four horsemen and the seven seals. I think we all determined that we haven't made it to Seal 6 yet. Remember that one? Seal 6, the giant earthquake, fourth of the population's gone, the nuclear war, the scroll, all that. I'm pretty sure that hasn't happened yet, unless I missed it this morning. But anyway, we're here. So today, we're going to talk about two uncomfortable topics. And I've warned people in the past about this message, that if you have youngins, small kids, it may be a little challenging for them. So I'm just telling you ahead of time, I'm not going to use anything foul in language. It's the topic that is very hard for us to imagine. And I'm just going to tell you, 10 years ago, I'm not sure I would have received this. Just not sure. Because I was kind of, I don't really want to admit this out loud, but I'm going to have to. I was kind of a burying my head in the sand. You know, we're in America. Times are good. You know, we got food in the grocery stores. You know, I got golf courses to play. What else do I need? It was a very naive way of thinking. And I kind of knew stuff was going on around the world, but it wasn't happening here, at least that I could see. And all I can tell you is I needed to pull my head out from the you-know-where. So, last disclaimer before we start, I promise you next week is going to be a week filled with hope to counteract what you may think is harsh in a hard reality. But as you're going through this, and if you have the temptation to get a little fearful, just remember what our God did out of nothing.
That's right.
Right? Remember how awesome our God is.
Amen.
Because when we get to tough times in this country, the only way you're surviving is to understand, to know, and to trust that your God is awesome. And no matter what, you end up with Him as long as you stand strong to the end. Amen?
That's right.
So the first subject today that is very challenging, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this subject. We're going to go to the second one. And I'll tell you why. Because if I spend too much time on this, no one will eat oneg tonight. It's sex trafficking. And when we understand the depth and the depravity of what actually happens with this topic, it is very sickening. And it gets me sick at my stomach. Just doing some of the research for this, I had my stomach churning. And I don't know if you remember, but if you were here a year and a half ago, March 15th, 2020, I had a dream, but it was almost like a vision, because it was like as if I lived it. And when I woke up, I remembered every single detail. And I woke up and I immediately went and wrote it all down. I sent it to my elders. I wanted to establish it, and I wasn't ready to share it with the congregation. I ended up doing that 2 months later. But at the very end of the dream, I was going from stage to stage to stage. I went through three stages of the dream, and I got to the last stage, and I knew that it was going to be about the children. And I was crying in my dream, and I pleaded. I said, God, please. I can't bear, after seeing what I just saw, I can't bear to see what's going to happen to the children. And I woke up. And so I didn't get the fullness of what was going to happen for the kids. And I'm glad I didn't, because I know it's going to be bad, but I'd rather leave it to where we just have to really do our own research on this. And we have to do our own prayer, and we have to understand where it's going. But I believe that last part of that dream was what's going to happen to our children in these end times. So sex trafficking, we know exists, but we tend to think it's only in other countries. You know, Rich's daughters in Cambodia dealing primarily with victims who have come out of sex trafficking. We expect it in Cambodia. We expect it in Thailand. When I was there in 1983, the headline in the one paper that was in English was, "Man sells his daughter for a color television." It's sickening. But we've come to expect it over there, but we fail to realize that it is all over the United States. There's not a single state that is exempt from it. Oh, out in Montana, they don't. Oh, yes, they do. Because where there is corruption and where there is evil, these things exist. And to pretend it doesn't happen is something we can't afford to do today. Reality is, it not only happens to women, it happens to young men too, and it happens to children. The problem we have in this country is there's too many politicians involved. Yeah. You always ask the question, well, why didn't they do something about this? Well, why didn't they do something about Hillary's server? Why didn't they do something about Bill Clinton, who's been on that stupid jet with Epstein to that island for so many times? Why don't they do anything? Because they can't. There's too many of them. You need a majority to do anything in Congress or in the House. And when the majority is corrupt, how do you think you're going to prosecute this? It's sickening. All across the world, they're sold for either labor or sexual practices. Take your pick. Yes, you could say one's more disgusting than the other, but it steals the life of a child.
That's right.
It destroys that life. And even if it doesn't physically kill them, it destroys their hope, their morality. It takes all of their faith away. They have no hope left unless they have a personal encounter with Yeshua as Messiah. Don't you dare say it doesn't happen in the United States. Corporate executives, politicians, celebrities, they're all involved. Not every one of them, but they're every sector of life. Pastors. Do you know how many pastors in America are caught up in pornography?
Yeah.
It's just, now, when they come up with a statistic, that's somebody who is willing to admit it. It's sickening. And once you start down a road, you know, this is not like marijuana. Well, I could just park right there. No, it leads to other stuff. And this is the same way with any type of pornography. Kids that are not even teenagers yet are sold. And you don't believe me? Go look up the dancing boys of Afghanistan. It's sick. And our military members, one of the guys in the military was almost discharged dishonorably because he wanted to do something about it. It's a reality. And I wanted to leave you just with a few facts on this topic because I want to move on so we can actually have Oneg tonight, because even though this is the Shabbat, it's a time for us to rejoice in the Father, you can't deal with what's coming unless you're prepared. You've got to understand the battle we're up against. In Africa, the average price you get from selling a child in third world countries, which is most of Africa, is $37. Now, $37 to you and me may be nothing, but to them, it's a lot of money. The World Counts is an organization that is based against slavery, and they believe over a million children a year are sold into slavery. Now, I personally think it's probably a lot more than that. They're going off of numbers that they can track and count. And it happens an untold amount of times when they can't track it. Some are used for labor. In fact, quite a few are used for labor. Child labor is rampant everywhere. And the rest of them are used as sex slaves. The real problem we face in this topic is not that it could be coming to America. It's already here. We've turned a blind eye to it and we don't realize that the corruption of the world is everywhere. And we have to understand that. And this is going to be really important because as I move to the next topic, you're going to come back to this. It's going to tie in with the next topic as we get about 20, 25 minutes from now. So the second disturbing subject we're going to talk about today, has anybody in here heard of Falun Gong? Falun Gong? So a few people have heard about it. So Falun Gong is a Chinese spiritual discipline loosely based off of the Buddhist traditions, but it consists of moral teachings, meditation, gentle exercises, and it has evolved into an actual, almost like a church-like setting. They are highly effective in a couple things. Number one, they're very healthy. They have high energy levels, and this is all according to their own marketing. They're now all over the world. It started in China. Now, it started in 1992 by a man named Mr. Li Zhonghongzi. He was a 5-time Nobel Peace Prize recipient, and by 1999, 7 years in, up to 100 million people were involved with this. Now, in China, when you have 100 million people involved in anything, it's a threat. Because the Chinese Communist Party rules by fear and absolute domination. And they require that you toe the party line no matter what. So for the first 7 years, many of their actual party members endorsed this. It was peaceful. They never protested against the government. They never tried to cause trouble. But in late 1999, that all changed. The leader of the Communist Chinese Party at the time decided it was a threat to their rule. It was a threat to what he was establishing as his legacy. And so he stirred up enough people and they decided to outlaw Falun Gong. Why did they outlaw it? Primarily fear. And if you've learned nothing yet, the Chinese government is just like our government. They rule by fear. Many insiders point out that Jiang Zemin, who was back then, he was the premier of China, or whatever they call their head guy, he was the one that first outlawed it, and he was the one that instituted persecution for all followers of Falun Gong. Now, these were peaceful people, okay? Maybe a little weird in their belief system. It's New Age, for sure. It doesn't line up with our scriptures, but they're peaceful people. They weren't trying to hurt anybody. They weren't trying to force people into their little cult. They were just trying to be good citizens of China. 22 years later, the persecution is beyond what you may think of for a group who meditate and just practice what is called a peaceful religion. Starting in 2000, over several million people have been imprisoned that practice Falun Gong. Regular torture of those who practice Falun Gong became normal inside the prison camps that they were taken to, which are more like stalags or detention camps. And this is reported by the people who have actually gotten out. See, not everybody in these camps is Falun Gong. Most of them don't get out, but other people who have served their time and get out would share this, and this is what was going on. Thousands have been confirmed as being killed. And in probability, the number is much higher. Just kind of like our government, you don't really get much truth out of the Chinese government. I know that's a shocker for some of you. Shocker. With the persecution that came starting in late 1999, they kind of went underground. And that's kind of when they kind of evolved into a like church-like setting. And many people will actually call it that. So there's two questions you may be asking, because most of you hadn't heard of Falun Gong. One is, how do we know these things really happen? And the second question is could this just be a full-blown conspiracy theory? Because when I first heard it, that was my first impression. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't believe everything I hear the first time I hear it. I actually heard this from a guy who I respect, kind of, but I'm also a little skeptical. Does that make sense? You know, you have some people you listen to, and you want to have verification rather than just accept it. Well, that's who I heard it from. So I had to hear it from other people and do my own research, which is what I enjoy doing. So here's a few facts for you. Ian Johnson wrote a series of articles for the Wall Street Journal documenting these atrocities back in the early 2000s. He's pretty credible, maybe. The Washington Post did a groundbreaking report in 2001 outlining that torture had become the Chinese legal way of dealing with Falun Gong. The Chinese government had hoped for fear, the fear would squash the movement, but it has not. Manfred Nowak reported for the UN Special Rapporteur in 2006 that 66% of all torture doled out in the Chinese detention camps was directed at Falun Gong members. In 2013, the New York Times published the story of the Masanjia labor camp, in which it states, according to former inmates, roughly half of Masanjia's population is made up of Falun Gong practitioners or members of underground churches. All agreed that the worst abuse was directed at Falun Gong members who refused to renounce their faith. In addition to the electric shocks, they said the guards would tie their limbs to four beds and gradually kick the beds further and further apart. Some inmates would be left that way for days, unfed and lying in their own excrement. And number five, a 2015 special report from the Freedom House, Politburo's predicament states, the Chinese Communist Party devoted considerable resources to suppressing Falun Gong and coercing adherents to renounce their beliefs, typically through the use of violence. I think that proves that this is not a conspiracy theory. It proves that something is really happening over there. But that really doesn't have the emphasis of what I want to, why I'm sharing this with you. Because we could go to country after country after country that imprison and do things wrong. So hang with me, because we're going to get to the purpose of me bringing up Falun Gong. And Falun Gong will never be forgotten in your minds when we're done with this. Their practices of meditation and pure mental thoughts, mostly peaceful people, also carry over into their health habits. We don't have all the details, but it's recorded they are some of the healthiest people in China. They eat healthy, they stretch, they exercise, they practice a new age form of loving your brother. They don't even realize that comes from the Bible. And it all translates into healthy bodies. Now, we've talked in here many times. To have a healthy body, it requires two things. One, you have to treat the body properly from the outside, what you put in, how you exercise, but you also have to have a good mind, because your stinking thinking can cause just as much sickness as the stinking stuff you put in. So these people, regardless of where they are in the spectrum of God's people, they're practicing healthy lifestyles, and guess what? They're physically some of the most healthy people in all China. So let's get to the meat of why I brought this up. And this is where you're going to have to hold on to your stomachs for a second. There are quite a few reports that have reported on this. So this is not a one-time guy. This is not two different witnesses. This is, you go look this up for yourself. There's dozens and dozens of witnesses, government agencies. They all know this is happening. And these different reports indicate that hundreds of thousands of Falun Gong practitioners may have been killed in order to extract their vital organs. Why? Because China has a booming organ harvesting business going on. You need proof? David Kilgore, former Canadian Secretary for the State, and David Mattis, renowned human rights attorney, did a book, or a paper, I'm sorry, not a book, together. It's called Bloody Harvest, The Killing of Falun Gong for Their Organs. But these aren't just two yahoos who wrote a book to make money. These are high-profile people. Another report, investigative journalist and China specialist Ethan Gutman called the slaughter, mass killings, organ harvesting, and China's secret solution to its dissident problem. In 2017, Freedom House published a special report, The Battle for China's Spirit, which cites credible evidence suggesting that beginning in the early 2000s, Falun Gong detainees were killed for their organs on a large scale. Reuters reported in September 2019, Hamid Sabi, counsel to the China Tribunal, told the United Nations Human Rights Council that forced organ harvesting in China has involved hundreds of thousands of victims, mainly practitioners of banned Falun Gong spiritual movement. And a few weeks ago, I actually listened to a recording that, hey, it's on the internet, may or may not be correct. But if all these reports are true, I have no reason to believe that that phone call was not true. And it was somebody calling in on purpose to a hospital that is well known in China for providing these organs. And they asked if they could get an organ from a Falun Gong member. And they said, absolutely. And he says, are you sure if I pay you, we will get a Falun Gong organ? Absolutely, the lady said, in English, so it wasn't a translator. She said, absolutely, we have access to anything you need from Falun Gong members. That only happens when the hospitals and the government are all working in cahoots. And lest you say, well, you know, an organ isn't that much money. You can get like a kidney in the U.S. for $50,000, $60,000. Tell that to the people that have to wait 12 years on a list. You need it. You have money. You'll pay whatever it takes. Another source, and this one is just I'm just going to be honest with you. I couldn't find a lot of sources on this, but it kind of lines up, and I'll tell you why. Did you remember about 2 months ago that report about the University of Pennsylvania with they were taking babies Yes. that had been born? And they're under investigation. Nothing has been proven because it hasn't made it to court yet, but they were taking babies from the mother's womb alive, telling her that they killed the baby in the womb because where this was happening, you could do that up to the ninth month. taken the babies alive and then they were organ harvesting. So this is the accusation. I'm not here to tell you that it's absolute 100% proof because I don't have that evidence. So this source said quite often the patients, well, you call them a patient, I'm sorry, the prisoners would have their organ removed unsedated while they were alive. Why? Because that's when the organ is at its freshest, highest value. It's all about money, folks. It has nothing to do with anything but money and power and fear. They take these innocent people that do no harm, cause no problems for the government, put them in prison, ask them to denounce their practice, their faith, their religion. What are they really asking you to do? They're asking you to follow the Chinese Communist Party. They're asking you to follow the government mandates. They're asking you to follow the Biden regime, whatever it is. You don't do it, you are no longer a desirable. China has been at the forefront of peddling fear for years. China also is at the forefront of money. And I'll tell you why. Do you know how much stuff is invented in China? They are masters at theft, plagiary, and stealing. They come into the auto shows and they get under the cars and they look and they inspect things, take pictures, and they go back and recreate it. I've seen it happen in my industry, and it's like the industry I'm in, it's like pittance. It's nothing. There's nothing for them to be made in that industry. They do it in everything. That's what they're trained how to do from birth. Wonderful people. I've been there, but the government is corrupt as all can be. And many people say, well, this can't happen in the United States. You're nuts, Tom. You think? It's already happening in the United States. You don't think organ harvesting's happening here in the United States? Are you out of your mind? Every corrupt thing under the sun is happening in the United States.
That's right.
It may be a criminal offense here in this country, but when the government turns a blind eye, who's going to prosecute? Do you think these politicians are going to wait 12 years on a wait list? Maybe less for some organs, but I know a lot of people struggle with these organ lists, the transplant lists. The Millennium Report states that 21 new people every day are added to the list in the United States for people waiting organ transplants. And they're not getting that many people to give up their organs legally. The legal transplants lose interest to people who have the money and the means to avoid it, and they go to the illegal route, the black market. And you know what? I didn't know much about this, but USA Today, which is a fairly liberal paper, they put an article back in 2006, 15 years ago, and it said that over a 19-year period, over 16,800 family members in the United States alone, I'm not talking about the world, in the United States reported and started lawsuits stating their loved ones' body parts were sold illegally and against their will. According to the UN Gift Hub, three categories exist. One, traffickers will trick victims who need money. They'll trick them into giving up their kidney through no cost. They don't get anything for it, but they'll manipulate them, whether it's for helping little kids or helping somebody or a family member. The second group is they'll promise them money for their organs, and then they never pay them what they promised. Sometimes they don't give them anything at all. I mean, what are you going to do? Go to the police? Yeah, I sold my kidney and he didn't give me my money. Guy's going to put you in jail. Or three, and this is the disgusting part, doctors who deceive people into thinking they have a medical issue in order to take an organ, or they just bypass your consent altogether. Do you know how often that happens? All for money. And when there's enough of it, they'll do anything. So what we have is worldwide harvesting of organs that is also in the United States. Now here in the States, typically it's done in a humane way, but not so much in the rest of the world. You know, we all seen the movies in Hollywood, but do you realize most of the time those movies are based off of reality somewhere? According to NBC New York, Levy Rosenbaum, known as the kidney broker, was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison. This was back in, I believe, late 90s, early 2000s. 99 to 2000. He was called the kidney broker, was sentenced to prison for organ trafficking. He was part of an FBI sting here in the States. And they actually physically caught him selling three kidneys for $410,000 total. Rosenbaum finally admitted his crimes after being caught. And he said that he would recruit poor Israeli donors who sold them their kidneys for $10,000 each, which he then resold at a rate of about $140,000 each. He'd also told the undercover FBI agents that he arranged for a lot of transplants and sold them to the Albert Einstein Medical Center and Hospital, where he acted as a facilitator for donor matches for Israeli patients in 1999 and 2000. There are hundreds of verified reports right here in the USA. Look this up for yourself. And so, how do we tie this in with the third Holocaust? Number one, we've heard about all the FEMA camps across the country, right? Anybody not heard about the FEMA camps? Everybody's pretty much heard about them. They were first reported to us by a bunch of nut jobs. Remember? Everybody called Alex Jones and all those people talking about this. They called them nut jobs. Now, the CDC has it on their website that they're using these detainment camps and will use them in the future, I mean, for those unwilling to go along with directives from the government. This is in print on the website. Now, what is that going to translate into? Your guess is as good as mine. But could it be for those who refuse spike protein RNA, DNA changing injections that don't help you from getting COVID and don't help you get better from COVID, don't help you from spreading it? You do the math. Number two, who are they taking to these camps? Rebels, undesirables, those who will not toe the government line. Peaceful, God-fearing Christians who follow the word of God and have chosen not to inject our body with a spike protein, those will be considered undesirables. You mark my words. They're already speaking it in certain circles, certain government officials. You can see the anger and the resentment in their voice. You can hear our president. He's getting fed up with us. I'm losing patience with you, undesirables. You won't go along with the way. Now, here's the hard-hitting point. Where do your kids go if they take you to the camp? Where do your kids go? Because I guarantee you they're not going with you. Just look what they're doing in Australia already. Yeah. This is reality. This is no longer theories or, oh, they're going to start rounding people. No. In Australia, they're just pulling up in a paddy wagon. They're coming out, knocking on the door. Or if you're in the yard, you know, Mr. Smith, you're coming with us. You tested positive for COVID. You're going to a detention camp. Well, when am I coming back? We don't know. Just get in the vehicle. Can I go say goodbye to my family? Nope, in the camp right now, gone. Now, we don't know in Australia if they're coming back after a time period or not. And I'm not going to try to drive fear by saying they're not coming back. That is not what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying when they can pull up, give you no time, you can't say goodbye, you get in the paddy wagon and you go, that is corrupt as all get out on its own. The children, where do they go? I don't like to speculate, and I certainly don't want to drive fear, but it should drive you to want to pay attention to what's behind this whole message and what's behind what's actually going on in the world so you can take every precaution you need to ensure your family's safety. Number five, the USA doesn't condemn China for any of these atrocities. Why? We're part of it. We're part of it. We're sold out to China to begin with. You know, our new government mantra is make China great again. It's ridiculous. The whole thing we bought in, we kowtow to them on everything. And where are we at for it? They released COVID. With or without the knowledge of the rest of the world, I don't know. But we know it was released from there. And it's had devastating effects on us. They took a president, like him or not, maybe you hated him. I don't care. Some days I hated him too. Get over it. He was the first president in a long time who actually had the average citizen's interest. Was he smooth? Was he always politically correct? Of course not. Some days he was like an idiot. I used to, just turn the TV off. I don't even want to hear him. But the policies had the average person, their interest at heart. And we haven't had that from a president in a long time. They took that away from us. And they gave us what we got today. And I don't care what party you're from. You know, I'm of the opinion that both parties are so corrupt it's beyond help. But right now, we have a communist regime running our country. Others in politics have been incriminated in crimes and have never been prosecuted. Many of our politicians, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, have committed crimes. And they haven't been prosecuted. We see stories about Jeffrey Epstein's island. I brought that up earlier. Have you seen like the different logs of people who have been over there? I mean, British royalty, Saudi princes and stuff. I'm telling you, no American has as much influence as that guy had. And it was disgusting. Hunter Biden, I mean, what's going on with his laptop? What's going on with all the stuff they found on that and people actually saw on that? What's going on with all this stuff we hear about? We're never going to have any justice from this government. We're never going to have any justice as long as all our politicians are corrupt and evil. So we got to start taking care of ourselves, which brings me to the last thing I'm going to bring up today, which is the Deagle Report. Because everybody's going to say, well, why would they want to do this? And this is what I used to ask. Well, why would they want to do this? Why do they want to kill us off? Why do they want to... give us something that's terrible for us. Well, we're going to bring it all together here. Edwin Deagle. He started a website called The Deagle. I think it's just deagle.com, actually. And it's a government agency, but he also came out with this projection. And it's called the Deagle 2025 projection. Now, it's all over the internet, but he removed it on April 20th, 2021. He removed it from his own website. And the Deagle 2025 projections are out. They're easy for you to find if you want to look at them. But this is not some just crazy guy who had an odd job. He was the Undersecretary of the Air Force under Bill Clinton and later became the Assistant Secretary of Defense. And then after that, he became the Deputy Secretary of Defense. So this guy has a little bit of credibility. His report's nothing new because we've all heard of the stories about population control. Has anybody not heard anything about that? Have you not heard about Bill Gates publicly saying, well, the planet needs to be 500 million? And the Georgia Guidestones, they actually put it in writing, in stone, here in Georgia. You hear George Soros talk about it. You hear a lot of these, whatever they call them. They call themselves the elites. That's not a really good title because they're going to have an elite place in the pit of hell they get there. And, you know, if you think hell is just poof and you're gone, not so, okay? My God is a just God.
That's right.
And people commit these atrocities their whole life. And it says in one place in Revelation where they burn in torment forever and ever. The smoke of their torment goes up. They are going to have a price to pay.
That's right.
That may not be for the average person who just doesn't know God. That's way over my head. But I'm going to tell you, there's a place that says their torment will rise up forever and ever. And I believe for these corrupt people, that's what they're going to have. My opinion. I'm not saying I had an epiphany. So this is the guy who comes out with this report. And so he takes it to another step. All these people have said, well, this is what we need. This is what we need. He actually put a report out that took all of the more highly populated countries and said, this is what their population is going to be in 2025. Now, how on earth would he know this? This is not some Yahoo that, you know, just threw a website together to get attention. How would he know this? But this is some tidbits from that list. I'm not going to read them all off to you. It says Russia. There's 147 million people in that country currently. They're only going to lose 4% of their population. That's not a big deal, right? China, 1.39 billion, the most populous country on earth, the only country capable of raising an army of 200 million men, by the way. 1.39 billion, they will lose 3% of their population. Iran, one of the most powerful Islamic countries in the world. They will lose 4 million people, or 5% of their population. Pakistan and Indonesia, completely Muslim. In fact, Indonesia, I believe, is the most populous Islamic nation on earth. They are actually going to stand still or grow a little bit. India will increase. Now, India is the second most populated country on earth, with right around 1 billion people. They're actually going to grow. Do you also know that India is home to a province that I can't pronounce? It's one province in India. Now, look, you got to remember, you got 1 billion people. One province could have as many as maybe 10 or 12 of our states here. One province, the entire government said, ivermectin for every single citizen.
Yep.
And they don't have COVID. There's no COVID. Cured. That evil drug that's dangerous, that will kill people, they're all healthy. Just food for thought. So with that, you're saying, well, Tom, those people aren't going to lose that many. That's not a big deal. Well, let's get to where the big decrease has come. All Western countries. Australia, down 40% of their population. France, down 50%. Germany, down 65%. United Kingdom, down 79%. Well, what about the United States? They predict down 70%. Now, why is that? Well, the United States and Great Britain are the two most powerful military mights on earth. You might say, well, no, China's second. Well, technically, China would be bigger and have more power, but the United Kingdom has us as an ally. You take out these two, the two of us, now Europe has nothing to stand on.
That's right.
Basically, the world is open for whoever wants to take it. And I'm going to tell you honestly, I have no idea if this guy is correct or not. I'm not here to give you a prediction. It's one report from a government website. The guy has some credibility. All I'm here to tell you is I believe that the globalists mean what they say, and when they say they want to depopulate, that is their intent.
Yeah.
Beyond that, it's not my place to judge exactly how it's going to go down. So, how can I bring this to a close? Well, I got about 15-minute close. We have hundreds of immunologists, scientists, doctors who believe that between the initial deaths from the vaccine, and what most of the initial deaths happened in the first couple of weeks. Now, you do realize that if you get the vaccine and you die 10 days later, they mark that down as unvaccinated person dies.
Yep.
Because until you cross 14 days, you are not officially technically vaccinated. So the vaccine could kill 2 million people, and if it did it all in the first 13, 14 days, look at all these unvaccinated people dying. This is the corruption of our government. And guess what? Most people in this country are so blind or naive, they don't want to do the work to look into this. So until you pass that 14-day mark, you're not officially vaccinated. Well, guess what? When it's time for your booster, if you don't get the booster on time, you now fall back into the unvaccinated category. So then you go in, and maybe you're a little bit late getting it. You didn't get there in the 7 months that you're supposed to. You get your booster shot, and 10 days later you die. Two vaccine shots, you die, and you're labeled an unvaccinated person. This is how they're getting America, and we need to wake up. And you can only share this with people you have a relationship with. You can't walk to your neighbor that's a stranger. You can only talk to the people who want to hear it and the people you have a relationship with. But we need to get this out. The boosters, the initial shot that causes a certain amount of deaths, the blood clot deaths that go on, the overall immunity issues that the vaccine causes, these immunologists and these doctors believe it's going to take a fairly large part of our population. How much? Nobody knows. And that's not the point. I'm going to reinsert what I said early on. If you took the vaccine or you have a loved one that took, there is nothing that our God cannot overcome.
Amen.
All right? I know you hear some reports out there, once you took the vaccine, you're done. Well, that's in the worldly mindset. And possibly medically they're correct. But our God is above that, because he's done things all throughout our history that supersede our thought or our process. You start splitting oceans and calling fire down from heaven and, you know, doing different things like that. I'm sure that this is not too much for him, right? Let's not be caught guilty saying, well, the arm of the Lord is too short to do this. No, he can take care of your loved one, your family member. But you got to make sure you get them to the point where they never take that booster shot. And I'm getting a little frustrated with it because I get really angry when you got a government and a medical system lying through their teeth. So, let me calm down for just a second. So we go back to last week's question. Why are they shoving this down our throat so hard when it's already been proven beyond normal doubt that the vaccine is really nothing more than a hoax? It has no real value to you and I. And it comes down to this, because it has real value to them. You have to understand this. Their agenda and what they want is not what you and I want. You've got to know this. You may not be fully on board, so let me give you a scenario. And this is, I'm going to be real careful. God has not given me a vision, okay? If he does one day that's really severe that I have to share with you, I'm going to ask him to give it to me 3 times just so I know, okay? This is something that I've surmised on my own as a possible scenario. I'm not saying this is the way it's going to happen. I'm saying this is a very real possible scenario based on all the facts that we know. This could very likely go down. So I'm going to list these off in order. The first one is an absolute fact. Globalists want population control. There's no denying that. They don't even deny it. Number two. And this is, I'm summarizing this. I believe they understand there is no way to govern and control 8 billion people. But 500 million seems to be a number they think they can handle. Why and how, I'm not sure, but that's something that's come out too many times and it's been said too many times. Number three, and this one is another one that I believe this is true, but I don't see how you can deny it from the facts. They have to get rid of the religious thinkers, the people who are actually contemplate and think. And really, it's not just people on our walk. It's people that think and have a relationship with God in every level. We tend to think outside the box a lot. And we're believing in a God that we can't see. We trust what was shared in the Torah portion, that God spoke and it existed. We trust that. They got to get rid of people like that. They also have to get rid of the free thinkers that maybe they're not religious, but they're not willing to just follow blindly. There's a lot of those out there. A lot of people call them patriots. There's a lot of patriots that don't know anything about God, but they know that our country was founded on freedom to some level, and they believe in that, and they're not going to go along with the government toe the line type of mantra. They have to get rid of those, just like China is cracking down on anything that is, even if it's not a threat, if they think it is, they have to crack down on them. They want everybody to toe the Chinese Communist Party line. And I would suggest our government is just the same. The control in China, it has to be absolute. That's how they control. Why do you think they're so severe in the Hong Kong protests? Tiananmen Square 20, 30 years ago. They're severe because the way they rule is absolute fear and total 100% control. That is exactly what our government is trying to achieve. They're trying to achieve 100% control over the population. But here's the problem. We are 100% committed to Yeshua HaMashiach as our Messiah. And if it conflicts, their government protocol conflicts with our way of life, I'm saying kale no. We're not following that stuff. Plus, I don't like kale anyway, but next point, they're attempting to accomplish their goals primarily through fear.
That's right.
You talk about everybody who has done whatever they've done, whether it's, you know, the mask and all that stuff, you know. I mean, look, I'm not in the mood to get in a fight with people. I had to sign something to get on the airline, so I put the mask on to fly. I just came back from a business trip. But the reality is, I'm not going to fight with people. I have no desire to fight, but I am not going to wear a mask voluntarily. I'm not going to do it. If an establishment says, hey, you have to have a mask to come in here, I go, like, you know what? There's other establishments. I'll go over here. But as far as the other stuff, The testing, where they stick a nose like 8 inches up into your head? No, thank you. Or stick a tube or whatever they do. I don't know. Not going to do it. Fear is what drives people to do that. Fear that you won't get back your way of life. Fear that you won't be able to travel again. You know what? If I never have to leave Georgia again, so be it. We got beautiful places. Cloudland was awesome. They're all over the place. I can live it. If I can't leave Cherokee County, I can live with that too. We got grocery stores here for now, while they'll allow me to buy there. Anyway, it's fear, 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 fear. And fear is what we're commanded not to do.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Australia, they're taking people to detainment camps. Don't you dare think it can't happen here. Here we have these people who have spread these conspiracies for years about the detainment camps, and now we're finding out it's a reality. They call people like you and I conspiracy theorists.
Every time.
Just like Noah.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
Jesse Ventura was labeled a conspiracy theory. Remember when he reported on the millions of plastic coffins? He's like, why would they need millions of coffins? Everybody's like, you're a nut job, Jesse. And he goes, oh, you're up to something. I actually liked him. He was a pretty cool dude. Now he's proven to be true. 10 years later, it's true. We got millions of coffins lined up for what?
Yeah, right.
To be determined at a point near you. So, here we are today. Currently, they'll tell you 65% of the country is vaccinated, which is a lie. Because you can actually go on and see the actual vaccination rates from different states and you add it all up. See, they're lying to cause you to more fear. They want you to feel guilty. Why are you guys in that tiny little group of people who are afraid to take the vaccine? Yeah. They don't have a problem with the direction they're heading because Biden is in the back door. He's in the back pocket, I'm sorry, of these globalists. I mean, let's face it, the guy's a puppet president, right? Okay, forget about whether you think the election fraud was real or not. We'll talk to you later about the flat earth and all that other stuff too. That doesn't even matter. The fact that he comes up on stage and he can't even get one sentence out without three bungles just tells you he's a puppet. They could have chose a better puppet, but that's another story. All he has to do is issue an executive order. Executive order. How many illegal executive orders have been rescinded for Democratic Party candidate presidents? It's reported that Obama issued 50 plus. I'm talking illegal. Now, there's some executive actions that are legal. But he realized quickly nobody was going to touch him. So they would do illegal executive actions and nobody bothered him. Now, again, it all comes back to what politician's going to stand up to him when they're just as corrupt in a different way.
Right.
See? And Joe Biden's in the same boat. He's issuing these illegal executive actions. They're already talking about what he might do with making it a law. They're already talking about seizing your bank accounts if you don't get vaccinated, preventing all workers, you know, all the stuff you already know. Illegal executive orders have become the norm. Now, when Trump did it, he did a couple things that people thought was illegal. And, of course, then the judges come in and slam him right away. And they cut up, it was like 8 or 9 of them, right? I mean, it was crazy. But the bottom line is no one's going to stop this. No judge in their right mind is going to give up their life and defy the globalist orders. So, what would happen? Issue the executive orders? I don't know if they're going to come out in the country and round up every individual, but they'll probably come into the cities, round up people, take them to detention camps where they're now prisoners because they dared to defy the government orders. And here is the kicker of why I brought up Falun Gong. Because you might say, Tom, China's 8,000 miles away. Who will the rich people want their organs from when the time comes? Healthy, unvaccinated, unspike protein, un-DNA alterated people.
That's
right. Rand Paul gave some good advice the other day. He was trying to watch his words carefully because the government's really strict on how they do things. And he said, if they start coming to your door, all I can tell you is resist. The rich people will harvest us for their vaccinations. They'll harvest us for their organ transplants. They aren't going to want the people to have the poison all through their body. Those people will be safe. Much like in Revelation, when it says the dragon went to make war with the woman, and then he lost that battle, then he says he went to make war with her offspring, those who have the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah, and who keep the commandments of God. So I know this is not popular, but you know who doesn't have to worry about that in Revelation? Is the church. They don't need to worry about it. You're not keeping the commandments of God. He doesn't care. Don't think it's possible here in the USA. Corrupt politicians are no better than the Chinese Communist Party. And for you to think that there is something holy about them just because they were born in the USA, we need to get that out of our minds. I don't want to criticize you if you're skeptical of some of this stuff, because some of it I told you right up front. It may happen this way, it may not. But there's enough facts out there to know that something evil is going on behind the scenes. But if you think it's not possible, or if you think it couldn't happen here, just remember, you're in good company. Because the Jews didn't think it could happen there either.
That's right.
We've been warned. What do we do about it? Because see, once the rich get more power, more control, are they going to all of a sudden become like more humane and nicer? Of course not. Once you're corrupt and you've sold out to Satan, it's just going to increase and increase and increase. They are sold out to their Lord and Master, Hasatan. And it's a hard message, folks, but I'm not going to apologize for giving it, because we need to hear the truth sometimes. You need to hear the facts that you're not going to hear on TV. You're not going to hear on CNN. You're not even going to hear it on Fox News. You might hear a little glimmer, a tiny little bit, but you're not going to get the depth of this, because they'll shut them down in a second. You need to know the facts so you can plan your strategy properly. Last Shabbat, we talked about the SEAL teams and the fact that you and I are called to be warriors spiritually in God's army, and we're supposed to be prepared. You know a SEAL team, when they're going to go on a mission, do you think somebody calls in, yeah, there's a village in Africa that's being overrun by, we need to send in a SEAL team. Okay, we'll have them there in 6 hours. No, there's process that goes into it. They have to do research and recon. They have to make sure they know what they're going into. They plan for every possible scenario, because the goal is to go in, execute the mission, get the people out they're trying to extract, and leave with no one losing their life. That is the goal, and they want to do it as quick as possible. And that doesn't come overnight. And I'm going to suggest to you, you're heading into a battle, and you're part of God's SEAL team, and you need to get it in your head. It's time to start getting prepared for battle now. And that starts on your knees. It starts in prayer. It starts from being to actually address these hard things that we don't want to talk about. If we're going to do any good for God's army, we have to be fully prepared, prayed up, and we have to have the spiritual armor on. And I will tell you this, I told you this years ago, don't put your armor on every morning. Learn how to sleep in it, because there's going to come a time where you are not going to be able to take your armor off and put on your PJs. Well, it's cold. I want my flannel PJs. Get over it. Wear your armor to bed. He's going to waken you up at 3 a.m. and get on your knees and pray. Wear that armor everywhere you go. And the problem is we just have this mentality in America that can't happen here, or it won't be that bad here. And that's a warped way of thinking. Ben Franklin said something, and boy does it fit today. He said, the man who trades freedom for security does not deserve, nor will he ever receive either. So when we give up our freedoms for the security of, well, we'll be able to have food, or so we can travel. You know, we've talked to people, I think a couple of your relatives in Germany, like, well, some friends of ours, they got the vaccine because they really missed traveling and they wanted to go to Spain one more time. I'm like, what's in Spain? It's more food, a beach, and sun. We got that in Savannah. Are you serious? You're going to get vaccinated, give up possibly your life over this? What's your life worth? What's your life worth if you're dead? What's your life worth to your spouse, to your kids? And it all comes down to this. Do you trust God or not?
That's it.
You know? Hey, I'm not being critical here. My wife and I got sick 5-6 weeks ago. I got sick and then she ended up getting it. We had to deal with it. We had to go through it. I took hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin wasn't an option at that time. I took the hydroxychloroquine, I took the Zithromax, and I gritted it out for a few days. I got better, and then I took another 14 weeks to get healthy again. But now I got antibodies, I'm strong. My trust every single day was God is going to restore me. But it got me on my face thinking he could take me out anytime he wants. So I make sure every morning I get up and I thank him and I praise him for breath that he has given me. We go through these issues, but who are we trusting? Are we trusting in man? Are we trusting in God? I know this is a little long. I'm almost done. But this is important. Because you've got to learn to trust God. Yeah. Trust and faith can interchangeably be used as the same term. Just like fear and distrust. Fear and trembling. Fear and giving in. Fear is going to kill you. Faith will allow you to finish the race strong. And it all comes down to what we talk about all the time. Right, Jim? It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. We talk about that. It's what's in your heart. I made you wander 40 years in the desert to see what's in your heart. I'm making you wander through North Georgia and go through all this to see what's in your heart. If it's a heart issue, it's all about whether we're going to stand fast to the end and are we going to obey him no matter what. And somebody might say to you, you know, well, taking the vaccine is not against God's commandments, Tom. Why are you making such a big deal about it? Are you sure about that? Are you sure? See, we're told not to put anything unclean into our bodies, are we not? So let me ask you a simple question. Are fetal parts, nanoparticles, RNA that changes the DNA that God put into your body, and spike proteins that strangle your immune system that God designed, are they clean or are they unclean? Are they tahor or tameh? You tell me.
No,
it's unclean. Why would we want to put unclean into our bodies? Again, it's not a condemnation if you receive the shot, but you do need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you for not trusting in him and him alone, and you need to ask him if he will come and do the miraculous and deliver you.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Next week, I'm going to share a lot of hope with you. And right now, you're going, hallelujah, we could use some of that. A lot of hope.
We're already.
And some of you may not like what I have to say in that message either, because we're going to dig more into the book of Revelation. And you're going to say, how can you go further into Revelation and find hope? Are you kidding me? It's a very good question. You have to come next week and find out. Amen. And I know this is a little long, but it's important. I couldn't cut some of this short. I tried, and I ended up with what we have. So today, I'm going to close by giving you just a small glimpse of hope from James, which won't get into the stuff we're going to talk about next week. But James chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." The crown of life is our hope. Amen?
Yes.
And we're going to close slightly different. We don't do this often. We don't do a traditional salvation prayer call to come up to the front in front of everybody. And, you know, typical churches say, you got to make sure everybody sees you. But there is nothing wrong with a salvation call. But we're not going to do the music and try to make it a more of a compelling atmosphere. This is a very heavy message. And the odds are, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I know I'm preaching to the choir with most of you. But the odds are there's somebody in here that has not fully given their heart and their life to Yeshua as a Messiah. Now, you may have given your life to Jesus at one point in time. I did, 1983. And that had a changing impact on my life. And it actually taught me a lot of good things. But I did not come into covenant with Messiah Yeshua until I came out of my darkness and the scales came off my eyes and I was able to see the truth of the scriptures for the first time. So I'm going to tell you, when this is over, if that's you, if you have not had a personal relationship with Yeshua that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is your Messiah, that he is the one that's going to get you through all this, you need to come see me afterwards. And a couple of the elders, we won't go in and just pray over you. We're going to sit you down and explain to you what the covenant is all about. Because the most damage that has been done in this country is inviting people into something without telling them the terms of the covenant. See, the Creator doesn't want you to believe in him. The devil believes in him. The Creator wants a covenant relationship with you. So if that's you, you come find me when this message is over. Grab some elders and we will sit down with you. We will pray with you at the end, but not before we explain to you what the covenant is all about. Amen? So, let's close in prayer. Father, we come before you knowing that it is only through the shed blood of Yeshua Messiah that we can even approach you with our prayers and our requests, and to have him be in our intercessor in the heavens on our behalf to make known the petitions to you. We could have prayed to you back in the Old Testament times. There was nothing that prevented that. But now we come to you knowing that he has paid the price for us, that his blood has cleansed us, that we are in a purified state of being, in the process of being saved. And we come before you humbly because we do not want to ever take anything that you offer us for granted. We want to come before you day in and day out knowing that you are the Creator. Our life is in your hands. Our trust is in your hands. You are the one that holds the keys to life and death. And at your plan and your will and your desire, anything can happen. And it says in the book of Revelation that some will lose their life. It may be the test that you require of them. But we also know, Father, that Yeshua, your Son, said, pray that you may escape these things to come. So as we come in next week, we're going to discover and dig into the scriptures that talk about what we can hang on and what can we claim and what can we hope for as we head into dark times ahead. But right now, the most important thing, Father, is I pray you would give each and every person a heart to follow you completely without any hesitation. And I pray that you would give them the strength to do it and share that hope that they have with others all around them. Father, we need to become a people that share the hope of Yeshua Messiah with the dying world. Most may not want to hear the message, but a few are already called from the beginning of time. You've already written their names in the book of life because you know that they will come to know you. Just like us in years past when we were not yet part of your kingdom, but you knew we would arrive. So, Father, we pray that you will never let a moment pass where we can share the good news with others. We pray for your favor in that. We pray for your mercy over our families. We pray for you to give us boldness and wisdom. Father, I pray that you will make us strong and prepared and ready for the battle that is to come. Let us embrace it like Paul, like the disciples all did, where they were willing to lay down their lives. And some had to give their life up and some didn't. But they were all willing. And that's the way we want to come to you, willing to give our lives to you permanently, once and for all, as you gave your life for us once and for all. We give you thanks. We give you praise, for you are the mighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we will see you soon, Father. And we come before you in the name of Yeshua. Yivarekaka Yehovah ve'ishmerekah. Yair Yehovah panavalecha vihunecha. Yisa Yehovah panavalecha ve'esem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and bring you his peace in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen and amen. So before we close out, does anybody have any questions about today? Because we went a little bit late and I know some people are hungry, but you know what? We need to hunger and thirst after his righteousness. Food will come at 5:30, 5:45, 6 o'clock. Does it really matter? Anybody have any questions? Mark.
It's a comment. Bottom line is, you know, when you add it all up today, the whole thing, is getting our faith off of man.